You stayed with me through thick and thin. Watched me lose, you watched me win. You picked me up off of the ground. You never one time let me down. And you put me on a natural high. I could fly, I could fly. I was drowning in a sea of make-believe. As helpless as a fallen leaf. You gave your hand to me that day. Cause you made that way. And you put me on a natural high. I could fly, I could fly.
Just listened to South Mountain playing the Merle Haggard 1985 number one hit, Natural High. On this recording, Jay Reel is taking care of drums and vocals and is the feature of today's interview. Good morning, it's Steve Todd. I want to thank you for tuning in to Musicians FAQ on 102.7 CKMS. During part one of our interview with Jay, we went way back in time to when he first learned how to play drums, got a start in a band with his brother, and went on to play with Terry Sumption, Jim Witter, and Farmer's Daughter, before jumping in with South Mountain. In part two, we're going to pick up at that point and learn more about his current project, Thorn and Roses, as well as his recording studio. Let's check in with Jay Reel.
So you, at some point then you you must have backed away from South Mountain and maybe kicked more into the studio work and everything?
Well, after South Mountain, then I had a little trio called Jay and the Canadians, of all things.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The name came from Jay and the Americans, of course. Jay from Jay and the Americans passed away that year, and I was just in the midst of putting a little trio together, and that name came up, somebody mentioned the name, and I thought, well, that's kind of kooky enough that why not? Sure. And it was Jana LaDuke and Rodney Alexander and myself.
Oh, okay.
And well, so we, yeah, do you know Rodney? Yeah, he's a great guy. And so we actually went over to Europe. Of course, I met some promoters and a few folks through my tours over there. And so we went over and did a show, or did a 3-week long tour there. I did a handful of shows around this area. And then within about a year, Rodney got a good job offer at 3M, I believe it was. And so we had to, it couldn't go on as such. But what happened was Jana LaDuke and myself, of course, I thought, and of course I was playing drums and bass in that trio. And then Rodney would play guitar, and then Jana would play acoustic, and the three of us would sing. So then that morphed into Thorn and Roses, where we got Lindsay Beckett, Jana, myself were backing up a gentleman at a club, and it was break time, and I saw the owner come in, and we were supposed to be starting like pretty much right away, and we couldn't find the rest of the band. I don't know where they were. So I said to Lindsay and Jana, I said, I'll grab Terry's acoustic and let's just go play. Let's start, because the owner's here. Like, I don't want to be late. So we sat on three chairs at the front, and we, you know, did a couple of songs while we waited for the rest of the band. And anyway, there was at one point when I looked to my right and Lindsay was there, and I looked to my left and Jana was there. And of course I was in the middle. And I made a comment to the audience, and I said, wow, this gives a whole new meaning to the word, you know, thorn between two roses. And big laugh, ha, 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 ha. And we did about 4 or 5 songs, and then the band showed up, whatever. And after that set was done, I went over to the two girls and said, you know what? That was fun. And we had automatically, we had 3-part harmonies. Like, it just gelled. It was just beautiful.
Yeah.
And so I suggested to them, I said, would you guys be interested in starting a trio? Of course, Jana was already in Jay and the Canadians at that point. So she was already all in.
Yeah.
But Lindsay, she said, yeah, that'd be kind of fun. So then Thorn and Roses was born at that point.
That's great. Good for you. How many years ago was that then?
That would have been 2015.
Okay.
So, no, I'm sorry. 2016.
Okay. Yeah, because I moved to this area around 2016 to Tavistock, and I think at that time you were doing a Sunday afternoon at the Boar's Head. You had kind of a, it was Thorn and Roses, but I think people can get up kind of like
it was a jam.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. That was, you know what? It's funny that I know that like the Boar's Head is a smaller pub, but what a huge energy in that room. I don't know what it is about that room.
Yeah.
Or the people that are in that room. It's the people in the room, of course, but every time we played there, it was just amazing. The people,
I like that place.
Yeah. It just, you couldn't do anything wrong. Like, you just couldn't.
Oh yeah. I like what I like about it too. It's sort of like little rooms. Like, it's almost like a little party going on in each part of the bar too. So it's sort of
intimate. Fun. Yeah. It's very intimate. You know, funny, going back to Jim Witter, when we played our first big, huge festival. And of course, you know, he was the up and comer at the time. So we were on at like 4 in the afternoon, 5 in the afternoon or something like that. And, you know, this huge, big stage, it's like 100 feet long and 80 feet deep and monitor, whatever you want, lights and all kinds of crazy stuff. And then you look out and the first people that you can see are like 50 meters away, because the first part is VIP and it's all roped off. But of course they're not there till the big shows. So in the afternoon you're playing to like literally 50 rows of nobody then people.
Yeah.
So that's what I do like about the smaller venues, is that when it's just intimate, you can almost reach out and touch somebody, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They're right there.
For sure. I know my daughter was in the UK, and the Arkells did a tour in Britain, and she saw them in a little tiny bar, like kind of like a Boar's Head place, but it would never happen in Canada. Like, they would never play a little place, but she got to go see them in this little club. be amazing.
Yeah, it's true. It's just the energy's contained. It's right there. It's I love it. I do love a smaller venue.
Yeah.
Especially when it's one of those just rocking nights and the band's hot and everybody's having a good time. There's nothing better.
Let's take a pause and listen to a Jay and the Canadians track. This one's called What I Wouldn't Do and was sung by Rodney Alexander.
Since you've been gone, I've been trying to understand just how I let you slip away. Didn't try to spend the time that a woman needs. So now you're gone for good. That's how it's gonna stay. But what I wouldn't do to hear your voice, what I wouldn't do for you if I had the choice. And you're not coming back, so when will I learn and try to forget about the things you really wanted and what I things in his life that make him strong. And all the money I could make just don't mean a thing when he comes home to find the one he loves is gone. But what I
Throne of Roses, are you writing and recording a bit then?
We have a record actually that's finished. It's not released yet. We decided to start working on the record through the pandemic.
Okay.
We had a bunch of songs. I got 1, 2, 3 songs from writer friends of mine in Nashville. And I've been writing a few. Jana's been writing a few. And so, of course, we were working 4 days a week with that band. We were really busy.
Well, okay, yeah.
And then March 13th was Friday the 13th was our last gig. And then on the Saturday, the 14th, the phone started ringing. Yeah, we have to cancel tomorrow. We got to cancel St. Patrick's Day. Sorry, we got to cancel. And so about, you know, I figure a few weeks, all right, no worry, we'll relax for a bit. So a month went by and then it's like, okay, we're still not going anywhere. So I said, look, why don't we start working on this record via the internet? And so that's what we did. We got basically 12 tracks are done. Of course, I can record drums, bass, anything I need here.
Yeah.
And then I send it to Steve O'Connor, who's my piano guy. That's who played on Bill's record. Steve O'Connor was piano.
Okay, yeah.
And I've been using Kerry Blackwell from Hamilton for my guitar bits and banjos. And he's and Petico, you know, it depends on the song of the genre, right? And so we do our bed tracks. And of course, Jana and we were all in our bubble anyway, because we'd still go out and do like live Facebook live shows and stuff. So Jana would come over and sing and I'd sing and we put our vocals on it and I'd get it ready and send it off to Steve and he'd put his organ and piano and send it back and I'd send it to, anyway, we basically within, I'd say the two months, the record was basically finished.
Wow. Okay.
But we're waiting to release it though. We got a couple we're trying to get the rest of the marketing and the other stuff in place.
Yeah, I've talked to a few other people like that too. They have all the stuff just ready to go at the starting gate, but they need to, you know, hear that starter's pistol so they can release it to the world, eh?
Yes, right.
Grew up down in a port city, around the ankles of the heart of Dixie, on the bottom of the buckle of the Bible Belt, where the tide rolls and azalea smell like a southern belle on a Friday night, y'all. A little flying skin, you boot a little football. Get your W, get your girl, hit the road. I parked the party at the Texaco, and we were good to go. All we needed was a lot somewhere. Black top, green grass, red dirt, didn't matter, just a spot to drink beer. Cut loose, make out, crank it up, break it down to some Allman Brothers Band, John Mellencamp, Steve Miller, Marvin Gaye, and Tupac. All we needed was a lot. Ooh, ooh, ooh. We'd hang and congregate, keep racking up, jacked up, drop tailgates to the blue light circle, then the cop declare, ain't got to go home, but you can't stay here. Bridgestone's kicking up a cloud of dust, fools hanging out, hollering, follow us like a pickup party train full of young lads. Our next stop way back in the woods, cause all we needed was a lot somewhere. Black top, green grass, red dirt, didn't matter, just a spot to drink beer. Cut loose, make out, crank it up, break it down to some David Allen, Cole, Queen, Coolio, AC/DC, and ZZ Top. All we needed was a lot. I call it small town simple, might sound like a little, but all we needed was a lot. Black top, somewhere, red dirt, just a spot for us to make out. Red dirt, didn't matter, just a spot to drink beer. Cut loose, make out, break it up, break it down to some Journey in the Class, Willie, Johnny Cash, Outkast, Keith Whitley and Kid Rock. The Eagles and the Kings, David Lee, Van Halen, Thorn and Roses, thanks a lot. All we needed was a lot.
That was Thorn and Roses with the song A Lot, written by Walker Hayes in Nashville. It's Steve Todd, and you're listening to Musicians FAQ on 102.7 CKMS. Let's return to our interview with Jay Reel.
Through my whole career, actually, when I started with Terry, I was 19, 20. My father, Royce, of course, had a shed. It was a big one, like a driving shed for the farm. And so we closed off the first third of it, and Dad helped me build a studio. Well, I swung the hammer. He was the foreman because he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And I was the labor and he knew what he was doing. And so I put a studio in there. I went to school for audio engineering. So I had my diploma in the field. And of course, like any business, it's always a little slower at the beginning. You got to get your word out there. And until people know, get the products out. But that studio was open for 18 years.
Really?
And 18 years. I was very fortunate to work closely with the Stratford Festival for many of those years.
Wow. Good for you. Okay.
And through that, you know, through the festival, I got to work with Stephen Page from Bare Naked Ladies.
Really?
And he was writing the music for one of their shows. And so he came up for 2 days, and lovely man. Got to work with Brian Dennehy, who has just passed not too long ago. Last year ago now, I think, or last year. The Wilkinsons were in there.
Oh,
Farmer's Daughter recorded in there. Actually, a Merle Haggard track came through the place. Merle wasn't there, but his voice was in the studio.
Really? Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. Okay.
I was very lucky. I was very fortunate. Again, a lot of it had to do with geography, with just being so close to Stratford.
Yeah.
And being sort of the only studio in the area that could handle a fairly decent size, because the studio was, 1,800 square feet, I think.
At this point, are you still in the driving shed?
Yes. But all this time, I was playing with Terry Stumption, with Jim Witter, with Farmer's Daughter, with South Mountain. I had another engineer that was sort of run the place for me when I was away on tour.
The festival's generally a summertime, spring, summer, fall thing, and that's
right.
Probably when you're playing gigs too, right?
Yes. Well, mostly, you know what? Mostly they were March, April.
Okay.
Because they had to have everything ready because the season for Stratford opens, it varies. It staggers the openings, but like May, June, May, they're starting to do their other dry runs where, you know, the public schools would come in and see a show.
Sure.
And that sort of stuff.
So were you recording like background music? Like, so for when they're acting, like when the play's going on, they would hit a switch and then your background music would come in.
Some of the shows, of course, were orchestra and real players. And 50% of the shows were canned music or recorded. And so I took took care of the recording, and they had, I'll tell you, it was a very, very professional outfit. They're all in the union. When it was break time, somebody would yell break and they'd literally just walk up and leave. And, but 15 minutes later, they were in their seat tuned, ready to go. It was unbelievable. Cause at this point I've been working with rock bands and country bands and, you know, there's always somebody late. I got to get something to eat. I'll be right back. La la la. I'll tell you what, when you work with the Stratford Festival, when they say we're going to start at 1 o'clock, it's 1 o'clock.
Yeah. And these are people from all over the world that have been sort of recruited to Stratford to be in the festival. So they're all pretty serious people. Eh?
Exactly. They take the craft very serious.
Yeah.
So, and it was a lot of fun because I was recording 18 to 24 piece orchestras, which was a new thing for me. Like, you know, flutes and clarinets and violins and cellos and timpanis and amazing. I remember one time, forget the name of the show, but in the orchestra, there was bagpipes. And of course we had everybody set up in the floor and we were doing our thing. And all of a sudden he fires up these bagpipes and it was just like, uh-oh, because they're so loud. He was getting in everybody's microphones. Like he filled the room, the flutes, and he was at the back of the room, but the bagpipe was actually pushing the meters louder than the flute was. And the flute guy was like 3 feet in front of it.
There's no little isolation glass booth or something like that? Or
I had two isolation booths in the floor, but one of them had a drum kit and one of them had percussion, like all the bells and cymbals and all that sort of stuff. So what we ended up doing was the bagpipes as an overdub. That was the only way to get around it. But a lot of great people, great conductors and their team, like their sound designers are all very pro, and they, you know, they make sure that all the stems were labeled properly and that the times were all written down. 1 minute to 2 minutes is this, and 3 minutes to 4:55. Just amazing. The professional attitude these people have.
Buckle up and hold on. Here's a real cooking tune to get your heart pounding. This one's called Already Gone, recorded by Thorn and Roses. It was written by Carrie Blackwell and sung by Jenna LaDuke. You can find it on the new Thorn and Roses album.
Do you really think you're fooling me? Do you think that I'm too blind to see? Oh, honey, I know what's going down. Because what goes around comes around. Take the high road, I'm going in high gear. This is the last time you've done me wrong. So don't tell me that you can't change, because not even won't take that long. Already gone. You can beg, you can plead and whine, or you're just plain run out of time. You're an ancient history, and it'll never be what it used to be. Taking the high road, I'm going in high gear. This is the last time you've done me wrong. You can't change, cause not even won't take that long.
It was fabulous, and I learned a lot doing that. And here's the other thing that was nice about them. They are corporate clients. So there was never any issues or discussions about money. They paid on time. They paid quickly.
Oh yeah.
You know, where 80% of your other clientele from a studio standpoint are musicians that don't have any money.
Yeah. Well, even, you know, I remember playing so many bars. I won't name any of the bars, but you know, if they didn't have a good night, if they didn't have the crowds, they're sort of mad at the band, and it's not really the band's fault, but oftentimes you got a hostile bar owner.
Yeah, it's true. I'll tell you what, Jana LaDuke is so good at that. She takes care of the booking for Thorn and Roses. And, she'll make sure, like, if somebody wants to hire us for Thanksgiving weekend, she will make sure that they know, like, you know, that's Thanksgiving weekend, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's a potential that there's not going to be a lot of people here. But she would address that before the show even happened. Like, don't blame. So in other words, don't blame us that you hired us when everyone's at home with their family.
Yeah. Okay. No, I understand.
Not our fault. Yeah. So she was really good at nipping that in the bud.
Yeah, for sure. That's amazing. Good stuff. Good for you, though. You're able to, because again, right from the start with Terry Sumption, like, you had that level of professionalism right from 19 years old. So the bar was set fairly high, and you continued right on through even to working with the Stratford Festival. Like, that's great.
I consider myself very lucky. I'm grateful for the opportunities that I've been given, because I've met tons, thousands of musicians that are just stellar musicians, but just never had the break, you know? And that's what it is. It's like any job, you know, it's kind of who you know.
Yeah, really. For sure.
And that's what I was saying about, you know, when you all of a sudden I was playing with Doug Johnson, and then now Doug refers me to somebody else. And then I was playing with Rick Jones, and then he refers you to somebody else. And then you know, like Jim Witter, same thing.
Yeah.
You know, this industry is all referral.
Oh, definitely. For sure. Yeah. Do you have, I'll change the subject a bit. Do you have any good, funny road stories you can share?
Oh boy.
I always like the stories.
I do, actually. Yes. This could be a whole other show. I'll tell you one real funny one that I remember. And it was in Gouda, in the Netherlands.
Oh, okay.
And what had happened was, the owner, who was a friend of ours, we were getting in the Sunday morning, but really late, early, 3 a.m, 4 a.m.
Yeah.
We're coming back from Germany. And we had a show the next day, but of course they're not at the hotel at that time. It's not like they have a kiosk that's open 24 hours. So I took one key. He says, you take this key. And then when you come back, I'll have the other three keys for your room in your room. So you can get in, get the keys to everyone else. Okay, great. Thanks. We'll see you in a week or so. So we get there, we pull in Sunday morning, and I go up to the room. Of course, I open the door and I'm looking around, no keys. It's like, oh boy, it's 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. And, you know, we didn't want to call them. So Kirk Bernard decided, well, it looks like those windows are open in the other rooms. And we had the top floor of this place. There was four rooms in the very, very top floor. So, and the hotel was like an old converted house. So Kirk, he opens the window and he starts scaling the side of the building to get over to the other room. And because he could see that the windows, they left the windows open so it wasn't so hot in the rooms, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So here's Kirk. He's scaling the side of this building to get over to one of the rooms to get so we could go to bed. And of course, the roof tiles are all
like clay or something.
Yeah, the clay tiles,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he kind of moves his foot in a weird way, and you could just two tiles fell off and hit the roof of the neighbors. All of a sudden, a light comes on, and this lady opens the windows, and Dawn was standing at my window, kind of watching Kirk to make sure he didn't fall or anything. And she opens the window. She's right in front of Dawn. So there's literally, I don't know, 4 or 5 feet away. And she starts yelling at him in Dutch. And of course, Dawn, he got so red in the face, and he's trying to explain to her, like, we're supposed to be here. Like, don't call the police. Like, she's going, I'll call the police, police, police. And because, you know, Kirk's on the side of the building trying, looks like he's breaking in. And so poor Don, he got 7 shades of red. And I had to leave. I actually, I bailed on Don. I threw him under the bus. I couldn't be there. I was
laughing. Oh, you're kidding.
Anyway, it was a moment in time. I'll never forget that. We finally did get to bed around 5 o'clock. And I think we ended up getting the tiles and putting them back in the right spot the next morning.
Okay.
Oh boy, it was a night.
Let's take a little break and listen to Jay sing a tune with South Mountain. This time it's Vince Gill's High Lonesome Sound. After we come back, Jay reminisces about getting called up to sing with Vince Gill's steel guitar player at an award ceremony.
Sweet baby ain't around. Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Sohaila Smith from Shelburne, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo.ca.
I don't know if you listened to the interview with Doug Dietrich, but I guess I don't know if he went with you or you met up with him in either in Nashville or St. Louis, but you were at a steel guitar convention.
Yes.
And somehow you ended up on stage, I think, with some of the Vince Gill's band, and you actually sang Look at Us. Is that correct?
That's right. That's exactly right. Yes. John Huey, Vince's steel player.
Yeah.
He was doing, of course, all the different steel players do like an hour show, and they do their, you know, and it's a steel feature. It's all steel. And somebody, I didn't know this was happening, but I think it was Al Briscoe had said to John, it was Canadian Week. Canadian Day. That's right. They also were doing a special night for the Canadians, like Canadian steel players.
Okay. Yeah.
And John Huey was on doing his show, and Al asked John privately, I didn't know about it. He said, Jay sings like Vince. He's got a tenor voice. He's got a higher type of thing. And of course, at the time I was singing a lot of Vince Gill because there really wasn't much else for me to sing. Being a tenor, you know, you can't get that low growl like Merle Haggard can. Yeah. So it doesn't work, you know? And so once Ricky Skaggs and Vince put out songs, I naturally gravitated to those being a tenor. So I was sitting there watching John's show, and I was having some popcorn, and all of a sudden he asked me up to sing Look at Us, and I had no idea. But all the rest of the Canadians knew it was happening.
Okay.
So, wow, what a moment that was. I'll tell you what, to actually stand beside John and hear, and Look at Us has such a unique steel part. Like it's such a unique solo. To actually have to see John and stand beside him and watch him play that and him have me sing it, that was a real treat.
Woke up from a nightmare to find I hadn't slept at all. When you can't imagine one thing could prepare you for this fall. I could hear the conversations like it was someone else's life. In the sweet heart of summer, there's a million words single word to say. I watched you hold his wallet and try to push the shore to sand. And I could hear the tides crying.
That was Jana LaDuke with Thorn and Roses singing a song she wrote called Carry On. What a beautiful song with lots of passion. Let's get back to our interview with Jay Real.
And there was another highlight actually at St. Louis. It was a different year, but Steve Patico, Don Reed, Kirk Bernard, myself, South Mountain, basically, we got to back up Dolly Parton for two songs.
You're kidding. Wow.
Nope. We knew about it. Now, here was a moment where we knew about it and nobody else did. So what had happened was we were getting, there was a break. They do the Steel Guitar Hall of Fame introduction. And that year, Dolly Parton's steel guitar player was being inducted. So what had happened then is we were the next band up and we were backing up, God, I can't think of his name right now, Merle Haggard's player. Oh, someone's gonna, I'm sure I'm gonna get messages about this. Anyway, okay. Sorry. Norm Hamlin. There you go.
Okay.
And so we were getting on stage already. But what happened was, just before that, of course, they inducted Dolly's steel player into the Hall of Fame. She wanted to be there to give him the award. But nobody knew that Dolly was going to be there, or else there would have been a little bit of pandemonium.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
it was a secret. But of course, us being the band up next, she had asked if the band could learn "Coat of Many Colors" and what was the other one?
Like Jolene or something like that.
I believe it was Jolene and "Coat of Many Colors." That's right. And so that was a real moment. My dad yesterday was going through a box and found those pictures, but there's me looking at a chart and there's Dolly walking in front of the stage. So that was a real treat.
I can imagine. Oh,
and this is a beautiful story. When it was all done, Dolly is a true, beautiful, beautiful person. Here's what happened. She carries, her two bodyguards are her backup singers.
Okay.
And they're big boys. On our set, of course, she went off to the left, and behind the stage was this what do you call it? Like a service way to bring food in and out of the kitchen to all the different banquet rooms, right? And so she went off the left stage and did some autographs, and I knew that she'd obviously have to be going through the right, like to go through the service hall. So I said to the guys, let's grab a camera and go to the right side and not go where all the commotion is, but just go, let's go wait back in the service area. She has to walk through there and we'll see if we can just get a snap. So all of a sudden you could see her come back beside the kitchen and they were back there talking for a little bit. And we were just standing against the wall, the four of us, South Mountain. And her bodyguard looked down and saw us standing there, and he yelled at us and said, you know, you're going to have to step aside. She's got to catch a plane. We're in a hurry. Sorry. And he grabbed Dolly by the hand and started walking her past us. And she looked up and realized that we were the band that just played for her. And in true Dolly fashion, she smacked the back of the hand of her. She did. She smacked him in the back of the hand and stopped. And she put her finger up and waved it in front of his face and said, well, we're not in that big of a hurry now. And and she asked, she said, thank you so much for learning my music, boys. You did a great job. That was great. I see you got a camera. Do you want a quick photo? And we took a little snap and she thanked us and away she went. Oh, it took literally 15, maybe 20 seconds, but she made us all feel like kings.
Oh, I just can imagine.
Beautiful.
Great story.
Yeah, she is. And you know what? And nobody would have ever known if she would have just kept going and not said anything, but she made him stop so she could thank us.
That's
so
great.
Yeah, she's a true, beautiful person.
Earlier in the program, we talked a bit about Jay's recording studio. And while the conversation focused on the Stratford Festival and recording his own bands, Jay's also helped many other musicians in our community. I wanted to feature one of these musicians to add a little twist to today's show. So I put my musical detective hat on, did some Google, YouTube, and Spotify searches, and found local artist Stringbone with the song A Lot More Better. This one was co-written and recorded by Jay Reel at his studio.
My friends and I, we play, we can gab all day, and we take life a little for granted. We know we got it right, but we're in there for the fight. We probably couldn't have it any better. But sometimes when you're low, you wanna let it go. You know that it couldn't get any more depressing. You wanna make it right, you wanna win the fight. You know that it could be a lot more better. A lot more better. Sometimes you wanna let it go. There's times that you'll never know. You gotta feel a lot more better. Well, we're sitting at the bar when someone stole my star. They thought they'd be an agitator. It's funny how it goes. My friends, they all know that I don't have time for a passive aggressor. But sometimes when you're low, you wanna let it go. You know it couldn't get any more progressor. You wanna make it right. You wanna win the fight. You'll never know. You gotta feel a lot more better. That's right. I'm taking a flight, and I don't know exactly where I'm going. It could be to hell, one can never tell. And I could be going to meet my maker. But there's two things in this life, there's love and there's strife. If we could only just come together, we can make it right, we can win this fight. If we could just all be a little, a lot more better. A lot more better. Sometimes I wanna let it go. There's times that I'll never know. I gotta feel a lot more better. A lot more better. Sometimes you wanna let it go. There's times that you'll never know. You gotta feel a lot more better. Is that right? We all gotta feel a lot more better.
Well, I'm looking forward to speaking with you again. I know we didn't really touch on your whole parents' generation. And then there's, you probably have a lot more stories about other bands you've come in, whether it's with the studio or other gigs you played at. So I'm sure there's a lot more to talk about, eh?
Well, and I can be long-winded.
It's okay. This is great stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, this is exactly what the listeners are just craving, this kind of stuff with during the pandemic and everything like that.
Right, true.
People are really getting in tune with music again. So this is great.
Oh, this is great. And great job. I have listened to a handful of the interviews. I have not heard the Doug Dietrich one yet, though, but.
Okay, well, but I'll send you the link because you're mentioned, like, again, you're probably at least 10 of the other musicians I've interviewed have talked about Jay Real or Royce Real, like your parents' generation too. So
right, okay, absolutely. I'd love to.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Well, we've reached the end of part two of the Musicians FAQ feature on Jay Real. I hope you enjoyed learning more about Jay's career. And I encourage you to check out Jay Real or his band Thorn and Roses on Facebook to see what he and the band are up to. To hear other Musicians FAQ episodes with your favorite musicians, just navigate to radiowaterloo.ca, click on the Categories dropdown, and select Musicians FAQ. Gonna end off with one more song from South Mountain. This is Jerry Reed's number one hit from 1982, She Got the Gold Mine. Till next time, it's Steve Todd, and thank you for listening to Musicians FAQ on 102.7 CKMS.
Well, I guess it was back in 93 when eating my cooking got the better of me. So I asked this little girl I was going with to be my wife. She said she would and I said I'd do, but I said I wouldn't if I only knew how saying I do is gonna screw up the rest of my life. Well, the first few years weren't all that bad. I'll never forget the good times we had, cause I'm reminded every month when I send her the child support. Well, it wasn't too long till the lust all died, and I'll admit I wasn't too surprised the day I come home and find my suitcase sitting out on the porch. I tried to get in, she changed the lock. I found this note taped on the mailbox that said, "Goodbye, Turkey, my attorney will be in touch." So I decided, right then and there, I was gonna do what's right and give her her fair share. But brother, I didn't know her share was gonna be that much. She got the gold mine, I got the share. They split it on down the middle, and then they give her the better half. Well, it all sounds sort of funny, but it hurts too much to laugh. She got the gold mine, and I got the shaft. Now listen up, you ain't heard nothing yet. Well, they give her the color television set, and then they give her the house and the kids and both the cars. See? Well, then they start talking about child support and alimony and the cost of the court. Didn't take me too long to figure out how far in the toilet I was. I'm telling you, they've made a mistake, cause it adds up to more than this cowboy makes. Besides, everything I had worth taking, they already took. Well, she's living like a queen on alimony. I'm working two shifts and eating bologna, and asking myself, why didn't you just learn how to cook? They give her the gold mine, they give me the shame. They split it on down the middle, I get to give her the better half. Well, it all sounds mighty funny, but it hurts too much to laugh. She got the gold mine, and I got the share. Split it on down the middle, and then they give her the better half. Well, I guess it all sounds funny, but it hurts too much to laugh. She got the gold mine, I got the shaft. You're right, I got the shaft. You hear that, Judge? I'm gonna be carrying food stamps. I won't need this billfold anymore. You get it, Judge? You get contempt of court. Yo, big! Yeah. Come on, check it. I do the funky bro style. Yeah. It's funky.
get your mojo on. I climb up there and sit down at your perch. Be proud to host the show. Gotta let the family know. Form a line, get ready to do-si-do. Pull the chest up high, look them in the eye, and then take a great deep breath in. Time to wake the coop, it's time to roll the roost. It's cock-a-doodle-doo time. Get funky, scratch it to the left, and then you scratch it to the right. Come on girl, get funky, and flap with all your might. Cock your head real slow, and let the people know you're not afraid to show. And shake your booty, go and do the funky booster. Ooh, do the funky booster. Oh, come on, yeah. I get funky. There's a feeding on the ground. I pack along to the sound of some rubber soul dancing off my beak. Y'all pluck along, help me sing out this song. Then tap and stomp and bounce and move your feet. Now there's some picking going on, cause we're celebrating fun. Feel the groove, love it, feel the beat. It's time we moved on, so dance out this song. It's cock-a-doodle-doo time. Get funky, scratch it to the left, then scratch it to the right. Come on girl, get funky, and flap with all your might. Cock your head real slow, and let the people know you're not afraid to show. Shake your booty, go and do the funky booster. Come on and do the funky booster. Show me. Come on. And then you shake it to the right. Oh, come on girl, get funky, and flap with all your might. Cock your head real slow, and let the people know you're not afraid to show. Shake your booty, go and do the funky rooster. Do the funky rooster.